It's time for Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. And now, here's your host, Rob Hernandez.
And a big thank you for joining us today on Talking.Golf. As we hit the end of February, that means many things. It means the golf season not far away, trust me, in the state of Wisconsin. But it also means we're 3 months out from the next major championship to come through the state, the U.S. Women's Open at Erin Hills. That coming up here in the from May 29th through June 1st. And it is the fifth USGA championship to be held at Erin Hills. And I thought today we'd take a walk back in time to the first USGA championship held at Erin Hills. It was the 2008 U.S. Women's Public Links Championship. They don't play that anymore. But at the time, it was a real big event because it brought together all the public event, public links players in one place. And it was the first chance that the nation had to see Erin Hills. And our guest today played in that U.S. Public Links. She is now the director of golf at UW Parkside in Kenosha. We welcome in Carly Werwe-Schwartz. And Carly, can you believe it's been all these years? What is it, 17 years since the U.S. Pub Links was played in at Erin Hills? I don't mean to date you there, but or me, but I mean, that must have been quite a thrill to be in the first one.
Yeah, it was definitely. I can't believe 17. That's like wild to think about, but time sure is flying. But yeah, it was awesome. Like, I remember when it was first hosted, and I wouldn't say like we were like the guinea pig, but it kind of was. Like, it was kind of like the first event for the USGA because they wanted then to host the USAM, and then I knew down the road they wanted to host an Open to see like what changes they need to do. And then obviously they did have that men's USAM, the men's US Open, and now, yeah, the women's US Open. So it's pretty cool, right in our backyard.
At that point, Carly, how much had you played Erin Hills? It had just been open for about a year, maybe a year and a half. And what were your impressions of the course back then?
I thought it was great. It's really unique to have played it pre-changes that they've done. So that was kind of cool because some people are like, what do you mean changes? I'm like, oh yeah, like hole two, like the green was tiny, like just ridiculously small. And then I remember hole 10, like that green was very, very different. And then at the time, what's the par three now? It's a great hole. Is that 8? No, not 18.
It might be number 9. There was a hole that they've used, they've taken out, they've put back in.
Yes.
Sometimes it's in place, sometimes it's not.
It was the hole that was considered like the one where you would settle your bets. It was the par three at the end of the round. So that was put into play just because they didn't want the original par three where you aim at the rock. That wasn't part of it. And so it's kind of unique to be like, oh yeah, we played the hole when it wasn't considered the golf course, but now that's a true part of the 18 holes. So some of those changes, I know like 17, they changed a little bit. So it's neat to see. And it was fun though. I mean, it was just, I think the fact that it was in my backyard was, I should say right in there, but fairly close. It was really fun and just a great experience that I still vividly remember.
I guess I can say this about a lot of things in life, but I wish I would have paid more attention to Erin Hills back then. And in terms of, not that I didn't pay attention to the course, but the nuances, because if I remember correctly, it opened with golf cars and now it's a walking only caddy course. Mm-hmm. And to me, it wasn't quite as strenuous a walk as it is now.
It seems
with the renovation that they really elevated a bunch of tees. And so you're starting up high, going down low, and going back up high. When you're done with 18 holes at Erin Hills, you know you're done with 18 holes at Erin Hills.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that's where I don't remember too much of the walk. I mean, my dad caddied for me in it, but I mean, yeah, there's certain highlights that I remember holing out on, I think it's 15, the par 5 during qualifying round. I hold out on 17 during part of the match play round. So just different things that, not necessarily tee box wise, but yeah, it's a good walk. I think when you're in the tournament, maybe you don't think about it as much, but possibly. I'm sure my dad did.
Well, and it was a long week for the championship. It's one of those where you play 36 holes of medal play qualifying to get into the 64 player match play bracket. You finished T14 in the stroke play qualifying by my count, 76-75, and then went on to the match play. Let's start first with the stroke play qualifying. How nervous were you? And especially given it's a USGA event at that point, You're in the prime of your competitive career. I mean, you're what, were you at UW or just out of UW?
Or was it 2008?
2008, yep.
Oh no, I just finished my first year, so I just
Okay.
not that old, Rob.
No. But I mean, what was that, what was that like? I mean, to step on that first tee in a USGA event, was it your first one?
No, I had already played in two U.S. girls championship, two U.S. junior girls championships, and then I played in the Publinks. I don't know. I actually was just like looking at all of this for, I had to write together some history stuff on myself, and I did play in ones prior to it. There was one
Sure.
in Pueblo, Colorado at Walking Stick. I played there, and then Erin Hills might have been the second one. I don't remember. But then like I did one out in Boston. There's four of them I played in. But yeah, I had already played in two USGA championships plus actually a third, because I was in the 2007 US Women's Am. So
Gotcha.
maybe nervous because it was like more hometown feeling, but since I had already played in four USGA championships, I think it wasn't as nervous, but I think it was the nerves was more like, oh, I'm in my, home state, I want to play well in it, versus like, oh my gosh, a USGA championship.
Gotcha. And as I mentioned at the outset, this isn't a championship that's on the calendar anymore.
I know.
It was
Just
designed to be for the public links player, but I believe over time that line became a little bit blurred. And if you were a country club member, if you were a member or had a, played out of a public course at some point, you could play. How do you describe the field? And at that time, do you really care who's in there as long as you're in it?
I, that's where it was unique, because I had played in a women's am the year prior. That was at Crooked Stick. But I mean, some of the girls at Crooked Stick, they were the same people that were at the Publinks. And did they belong at clubs or have like special time at a club? I'm not really sure. Like I said, I'm not sure how much it was managed that way, but you still had a great field. I mean, if you look at the past champions, you have like Tiffany Joe had won, and she's was a standout player at, UCLA, and now she's helping with the development program at for U the development program for Team USA, all of that
Right.
sort of thing. But yeah, I still think you had good players. I mean, I really do. It was, like I said, it's sad to kind of see it go, but I understand like the blurred lines, because it's like, oh, if I'm a college player and I go to school here, but then this golf course maybe lets me practice at it, it's kind of like, oh, I'm at a private course even though I'm not a member. So I understand it. It was a cool thing while it happened. I'm just happy I got to be a part of that championship for, a handful of years.
Yeah, and it had a unique history. I believe it started, or at least one of the early ones was played at Yahara Hills in 1977, which, if you told people that now that Yahara Hills hosted a USGA championship, they maybe look at you cross-eyed. It's a great public course, getting smaller this year. I think they're down to 27 holes and then on to 18 as they kind of repurpose the land. But it's pretty cool. But and again, that you qualified with a 76-75. You go on to match play and
Lost on 18.
what's that?
I think I lost on the 18th hole.
I
I can.
believe you did. I had this all, these match play brackets from back then. It's not online anymore, so you have to really, really look hard. But you're right. I think it was a one-up loss, and that was it. I mean, that's the kind of the nature of, yeah, to Grace Na, two up. You lost on 18, but to Grace Na, and then she loses to Angela Oh, and then she loses to Michelle Shin. It's like the NCAA basketball tournament. You just never know who's going to be the knockout person.
No, and that's, and like all those girls, I mean, Angela Oh, she ended up playing at tennis. She was, I think she played at Tennessee. She's a great player. Michelle Shin, she and I used to be really good friends. She played at Wake Forest. And so it's like you have super good players. But the, yeah, on hole 17, I'll never forget it. It's when you still had like this big slope. I missed the green right, and I had to get a high lofted wedge shot onto the green, land it to a certain area, and I holed it out. It was
Wow.
awesome. Hit the green, rolled in, and I don't know who was more pumped, my dad or me, but like I remember like standing, and I still vividly remember like, standing over. It's like, I'm gonna make this, like I am making this shot. And I think at the time then when I got to 18, again, I remember the tee shot, I like pulled it left and I kind of went in a little bit of like fescue-y rough or whatever. And I think there's just the adrenaline of what I just did, and okay, I'm gonna win this hole on 18, and I just put myself in a poor spot on a tee shot. Not like I said, it wasn't terrible, but enough where you couldn't really get the club you needed to advance the ball. And so, yeah, I never made it past round one of match play at those events, which, looking back, it's like, did I do something wrong? Did I play against someone tougher? I mean, I've had a lot of, 1 year was Amanda Blumenhurst. I mean,
Wow.
oh yeah, that was in Kentucky. That was at Kearney Hill. And I had her three down through like four. And I was like, holy cow.
You're going down. You're going down.
And it was like this, I mean, she's tall, like, and she's, I forget, 2 years older, 3 years, but she has every amateur title in golf you could imagine. And then on the back nine, it was like, wow, I see why you're number one in the world. It's fun. So my men's team actually plays at Kearney Hill. So when we went back there 3 years ago, it was really cool to like re-see the holes. And I'm like, oh, she stuck it to 3 feet on this hole. And she's, this. But in another match play, I went like 21 holes or 22 holes and lost. And so it's like you said, you never know. It's fun, but it's tough. But yeah, Erin Hills, great memories with it, and just fun to see, like I said, big golf back in Wisconsin, and it's fun. Like, I think there's a lot of women's golf history just in Wisconsin in general. Like people, like you said, people don't think about Yahara Hills, or you even think the river course at Black Wolf Run. Like, they hosted a US Open, I think, way, kind of a long time ago, but people don't think of that. And a lot of women Western championships and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, it's funny. You don't forget, your USGA championships. Clearly, you were friends with a lot of these players. The thing
Oh, a
when the
ton.
U.S. Senior Women's Am was out here, Nikki Stricker played, Maggie Leaf. We had a good contingent of Wisconsin players out here in Arizona. And the thing that I thought was cool was I've never seen a more crowded patio outside the clubhouse after the round of women just sitting there and enjoying each other's company. I mean, that's another part I think that is maybe the unsung part of USGA championships is the camaraderie that's built among the great players.
I would agree. I think that's where I remember, I can't remember if it was one of my teammates from Wisconsin or if it was just someone else maybe from Wisconsin that had qualified, and they were like, how do you know all these people? Like, this girl's going to UCLA, and this one's at Oklahoma, and this one's down at Wake Forest. And I think it's like the two US girls juniors, it was, back to back years of doing that. And then, like I said, some of the women's am, the pub links, you just, yeah, you kind of all, either you qualify or you're exempt. But it was fun because I remember we had Hale, ironically enough, and it was one of the girls. She was from down south, and she's like, oh my gosh, like, it is real ice. Like, she didn't see that ever, stuff like that. And the caddy barn, which at the time, I know it wasn't, it's, I think it's more talked about and like a bigger thing now, but that's where you'd either be in the clubhouse or in like that caddy barn waiting out kind of like a storm, a rainstorm, stuff like that. And yeah, a lot of people, it is a small knit community, especially I think when you do get to some of those like upper levels, which is fun. And I think that's what makes it enjoyable. And yeah, I just remember some of the girls I've played with, and then you go on, well, now the Epson tour, but even some of those girls, I remember like we'd play junior golf together, and now all of a
Right.
sudden, oh, here we are like trying to play professionally. And so it's pretty cool.
Well, and I guess as a college coach now too, I mean, the great message there is, the great players are people too. They make mistakes. And I think when you're up, when you have a front row seat playing against some of those great players, you see those flaws. And I guess is that what you took away from those experiences, the US juniors, the US Pub Links, the US Women's Am, at that point in your career?
Yeah, I definitely see, like I said, with Amanda Blumenhurst, number one player in the, because she, at the time, she was number one amateur, like stellar standout career at Duke, one of the all-time greats. And yeah, the first couple of holes, like she missed some putts because she had some errant shots, and it's like, okay, like I'm, three down to this girl from Wisconsin who, doesn't have as big of a name as what Amanda did. And but all of a sudden, I mean, you just saw her fight through, and like I said, it still sticks out to me, and it's pretty neat to see. But yeah, some of the other girls, it's, you do see like what they do if you're playing with some of the top players. I remember this girl from UCLA, my first ever pub links, she, Hannah Yun was her name, Hannah Yun, she was in a Jun, they both had two different ones, but she just ho-hum, just back to back 66s. And it was
Wow.
didn't do anything phenomenal, but just like hit the ball, like super nice girl. She was a couple years older than me. And again, it's like, wow, just you didn't have to do anything magical. It was just can be consistent, not get mad out there, kind of stay present. And that's, yeah, I'd say like a lot of that's what I try to, talk to my college teams about is having seen some of like, the best players out there, even though I never got to the LPGA level, but still like you're at the highest level for amateur golf and you're playing against some really good people. And it's like, okay, what do they do that makes them successful? And so, yeah, I think a lot of that goes into teaching. And I think, my team starts to understand it. And some of them have played in a USGA event and some of them never have. And so it's kind of learning where do you find that balance if they've never experienced playing with, some of the elite of elite, but how do you tie that into what we're doing? And it's getting there, which is cool. And just when we talk about stuff or how they watch golf, or if we get paired with a team that's ranked, pretty high or like a good player. So yeah, it comes in handy for sure.
So the U.S. Women's Open May 29th through June 1st. There's a bunch of qualifying around the country. Last year, nearly 2,000 entries were accepted for it, and the qualifying is going to be 36 holes at various sites around the country to get to the final field of 156. The big question, Carly, will you try to qualify?
I had one of my men's players honestly say that to me the other day. He's like, "You're qualifying, right?" I said, "Well, if it's at Elgin Country Club is the one, and hopefully everything goes well where I'm at regionals with my women's team and I'm at regionals with my men's team, and that's truly a whole week. I'd be gone Sunday through a Saturday, so my golf clubs wouldn't really be touched for a week." And they're like, "Well, but sometimes that's your best golf, right? When like you just are going out and just to play." I'm like, "Yeah, but I was like, you guys have been playing every single day, like all the time." I said, I haven't been doing that. And part of me, like, I do really want to, but part of me knows, like, I mean, you do gotta come out shooting even. And I've been to Elgin Country Club a handful of times for qualifying, or not qualifying, I'm sorry, recruiting. So I know the golf course. Still TBD. I gotta bring my sticks to the office, and they're here. My wedges are, but I gotta bring the full bag. So that's closer. And it's just hard, I think, because the Women's US Open is played so much earlier. So qualifying is a lot more earlier, like at least all of the rounds, like trying to get up to a Minnesota or a Michigan, I think is just kind of challenging. So I don't know. I think I have maybe like a couple more weeks until the deadline approaches. So we'll see. I know.
Yeah.
Like you said, I'd like
It
to.
doesn't say on this thing. It doesn't say, so I'll have to look it up.
I said I'd like to, just because and that's one thing when this did get announced, 2 or 3 years ago, and they said they were coming out here. That was a goal of mine. It was like, okay, I'm gonna do this. And then when I looked at the calendar dates, I was like, oh, really? It'd be 1 day, I think, that I would have before. So I don't know. I probably should, just because it's like, how many more chances do you have? Just as not old, but there's a
Yeah.
lot of
Well,
golfers.
I think, and I haven't memorized the list of USGA championships coming after this because we've got three facilities involved, the Kohler courses, Sand Valley, and Erin Hills. And I think, I know there's at least a US Women's Mid-Am in there. And so.
Am wise, I don't see myself going back to am status. So that's me. I do look at that. I'm like, oh, that would be really fun. So
You've got time to make that decision too.
no, I know, I do. Yes, not quite age. So
But Elgin Country Club will be quite busy with Wisconsin golfers. I mean, it's amazing the people I've talked to. A lot of the college gals are going to try to qualify down there.
for sure.
It's a great measuring stick to see where they're at, and even some high school kids. We've got some elite, amateur girls that are going to give it a shot, and boy, what a thrill it would be at that age to try to get to a women's US Open. But this is a championship that really has a rich history of having really young players excel and qualify.
For sure. No, it definitely does. And I do think Elgin Country Club will be a good test. There's some narrow fairways, definitely some elevated greens, kind of have you ever been on property there?
I have not, no.
Kind of like a traditional older school country club, but like you said, it's got some good high elevated tee boxes, elevated greens, kind of that high low and good green complexes. So yeah, one that definitely will be a good test. And the more I talk to you now, the more I'm like, gosh, I gotta go play.
Good. I'm glad I can be your Dr. Phil.
Exactly. I just played around with one of my men's players needed a partner for this season long thing that we do, and I said I didn't have my clubs in here, so I was playing with his, and all of the other guys, they saw me get fired up. And I mean, I'm playing with shafts that are like stiff or extra stiff, obviously more than what I swing. And it was good, like the banter going back and forth. We were like 2 under after three, and
Wow.
it was, but then, like you said, then the golf clubs caught up with me, like I said. But it was good because, like you said, it's just the fun. But I'm like, oh my gosh, guys, I was like, I gotta get back to doing all of this. And I said, now that we're kind of in the season, it helps. But yeah, the young play, as you said, it's amazing how many young golfers are qualifying now. And I just think the game is so different now. Just there's so much more technology, and whether it's workouts, mental side, all of that for golf, I feel like compared to when I was younger. I mean, I look at how everyone teaches speed, and I see that even in my own instruction, like teaching speed, and it's like, okay, how can we do that? Where that really wasn't a focus when I was growing up. And now that's kind, and again, I think Tiger kind of changed it. And you know, maybe seeing like with Michelle Wee's my age, so with her being younger and how hard, like she's also tall, so she has a really nice swing arc. But yeah, just seeing stuff like that, I think it kind of changed her. Like Annika, you know, when she was in her prime, like just the workouts she was doing as well, and kind of getting into her and Tiger truly, I think, were that like, oh, golf kind of slow pace, you know. Now it's like, okay, you're an athlete, how do you move and everything like that. But yeah, if someone can play in their hometown, it's awesome. Like I said, being able to play a USGA championship, obviously the US Open kind of has that little bit bigger feel to it because you have professionals and amateurs. But I think any sort of championship here is awesome. No different than like when the US Junior Girls was up at Century World
Yep.
7 years ago now, and having the pub links, or like when the USAM was here between Blue Mound and Erin. Like I think anytime you can have a championship in your home state, it's pretty cool.
Well, and the 1998 U.S. Women's Open up at Black Wolf Run will always be one of my most memorable events I've ever covered, where you
Yeah.
had Sayree Pack winning a 20-hole playoff over an amateur, Jenny Shishirapourne. And the fact that an amateur got in the playoff at that point was, incredible. And then what that victory did for golf in Korea, changed the game.
Oh, yeah.
And it was neat for Wisconsin to be a part of that. The question I have for you, this U.S. Women's Open at Erin Hills will be, I believe, the longest golf course at sea level, basically, not in Colorado. The four longest were up at the Broadmoor each of the rounds. But 6,835 yards this year at Erin Hills will be the is the listed yardage. When you played the U.S. Women's Pub Links in 2008, it was 6,158. Now, to those of us who aren't swinging the golf club, it doesn't seem like it's that big a deal spread over 18 holes. But 6,800 yards on that golf course with the elevation changes and everything is pretty beefy.
Well, and you think of some of those green complexes, some of them are very large. And so it's, if you have a front pin compared to a back pin, I mean, you could have 30, 40 yard difference even from that. Now you're making me think 6,800. Whew, that's, you got to be swinging fast to get that ball moving. But I think, and that's kind of, you know, what I said earlier, just the way that the game has changed. It's definitely increased in distances. And I even look at women, like our college events here for the women. We're not super long with yardages. Like you see it a little bit more at like D1 where they'll like bump it up. But 68, that's a pretty.
Yeah, but you can hole out from anywhere, Carly. You already told us. You can hole out from anywhere. So
Yeah, so that's why I gotta sharpen it up. But it'll. I agree with the ups and downs, though, of yeah, the elevated tee boxes, greens. You do have to take that into and it can blow out there. I mean, it can definitely be windy. There's nothing that's blocking stuff out there, but that'll be a good test, yeah, for sure. But I think that's what make and I know sometimes they put the longest yards, like okay, it's gonna be at 68, but maybe it's actually at 66. But
right.
over it does make a big difference. And to those who aren't as familiar with golf, they might think like, oh, that's only 700 yards. But 700 yards, if you break that down over 18 holes, that could be an extra two clubs, maybe three clubs on a hole. Maybe they have a par four that's 350, and then the next day they put it at 400. I mean, that's a big difference.
I'm counting just off the top of my head here, two, th three on each side. Three par fours over. I'm sorry, I better not say this because I want you to play. 417 yards.
17 is not bad. That's
No.
not bad. If it gets
Okay.
like, there was a hole the other day I was playing, it was 4:30, and I was like, ooh, that one's, again, that's on the simulators, but still, 4:30 is still 4:30.
Will you attend the U.S. Women's Open? And for those. I know we're going to get a lot of the young junior golfers, men or boys and girls, but especially the girls, what can they learn watching the best in the game at an event like the U.S. Women's Open? Where would you recommend they focus their attention on what these players do?
I think, I don't know if you can still sign up, but they're still, they were asking for female golfers, kind of at that, I don't know, maybe if you were like 15 or 16 up to college to be a standard bearer. I actually have a player on my team's doing it, and she's super excited. She's like, I hope I get someone who, not that maybe isn't like the powerhouse, but someone kind of in that middle round where it's like she can maybe talk with them more, see like what's going on, and just learn like, okay, what does she do that makes her good? Or if she hits a bad shot, like, oh wow, like they hit bad shots too, and just to see how do they react. But I'll never forget when the US Open was at Women's Open was at Merritt Club. My
Yep.
dad, I don't know how old I was, but
That was
it was
2000.
okay.
You were two.
I was yeah. Fifth, sixth grade, and we were on the range. And at the time, her name was Hillary Hollmeyer, and she played at Stanford. She was an amateur player, and I was just watching her at the range. But she came over, like signed a hat, all of that. And then, however many years later, she became Hillary Lunky, and she won the Women's US Open in Minnesota. And it was so cool. And she wasn't a powerhouse name. Like I said, she didn't have the name of like what Nelly does or Michelle Wee, kind of like Lorena Ochoa, like nothing like that. But to see, I was like, holy cow, that was so cool. But I think if you have young golfers, whether it's male or female, I think like watching them at the range and kind of seeing if they hit a bad shot, are they reacting, frustrated? Are they anger or anything like that? Because I think a lot of times when you see junior golfers or even college golfers on the range, it might be like a club slam, like, oh, I'm not hitting it well. And it's, what are they working on? I think the short game area is another really great spot just to see wedge wise, like, what are they doing? Are they just doing those simple basic shots that are off the green? Probably not. You're going to see them go in the bunker or do a couple of different undulated shots, stuff that's in the rough, and then putting. What are they doing putting with? And I think whether you watch them in their warm up, but then even like what they do like post round, I think that's really, you can learn a lot. And then sometimes even following a group, it doesn't even have to be a group again with like the, like I said, you don't have to follow like Nelly Korda out there or Charlie. I think, is it cool to see them play? Yeah, because they're, two names that are definitely the big names when you come to the LPGA. But even if you kind of have that middle of the road pack player, like you're still going to have a great driving accuracy, ball striking, short game, all of that. But I think a lot of people can see their games are more similar. I do think the women's game, like I said, it's getting longer where distances are increasing, where you might be like, oh, I don't hit it quite like them, but the accuracy. I mean, that's what I hear a lot of times, especially coming from male students that like I work with who watch golf, that's women's golf online or on TV. They're like, wow, like they're really accurate and their short game is awesome. Like, yes, they don't hit it as far as Rory and those guys. No, they're not hitting 330 or like Bryson, but I think you can learn a lot just about, like I said, the mental, how they react to stuff, if it's a good shot, bad shot. But I think it's just fun to go sit in that practice area because you see all the things that they do. And maybe there's a shot on the golf course where you watch, you can see a lot out at Erin Hills, but I would encourage a lot of people to go because it's truly right there in your backyard. You don't have to go all the way far out to the holes. I mean, you can hang out by one or 9 and 18, 10, kind of all in that little area. But I think it's cool. It's definitely an opportunity to see some really neat things.
How much have you played Erin Hills in recent years, if at all?
Not a ton. After the pub links, I was able to go up there like a handful of times. Just with the previous owner, was able to go out there and play, I think just because of being local and having played in those tournaments and stuff like that. But it's been a little while since I've been there. I was there for the Men's US Open, so that was cool to see. And then honestly, that's probably the last time I was there. I think just I know their tee times book up pretty fast.
I mean, with all these courses, they're already making the call out for 2026 tee times. That I'm not sure if it's Erin or if it's Sand Valley, but one of the two has already put the call out. So yeah, and besides, you've been busy. You've been coaching,
Yeah.
so there's not a lot of time to play. And
No.
that kind of takes me to my next topic. You're about what, a couple weeks out from the start of the spring season, the men and the women at UW Parkside, Wisconsin's only Division II university, with period, but also with men's and women's golf, opens March 15th and 16th at the SVSU Spring Invite. Is that Saginaw Valley State?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, and that's in Kentucky. The tournament is. Yep. So what I did some research on the men because we wrote about a kid you've got coming in next year, and I mean, he's excited, and I didn't realize, the reason for the excitement, because you've got almost everybody coming back next year. You've got a real stud at number one in the lineup on the men's side, and you've been doing some great things in the fall. You must be super excited about what the spring holds for the men.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, they've always been a motivated group when I first started, and I think that first year it's always unique, right? The team was used to what the previous coach did. The freshmen at the time didn't really know what to expect. They were recruited by one coach, but then once they got to campus, they had me instead. And like we did some really good things like my first year. Last year, again, we were starting to make those big strides. And this year, I think they're finally starting to believe it themselves. When I said, like, you guys truly are capable of playing really well and being up there with, I mean, Grand Valley State, for example, they're third or fifth in the country. I mean, they're always in like that top five. And we were paired with them at conference last year. And so we're starting to put ourselves in those positions. And I think they're starting to see it. So like our fall, like I said, it was a good fall. We had two runner-up finishes. We had one individual win, but then we had Peter Yeh on the team. He finished third twice and in the top, he was in the top five, I think, at every single event, maybe other than one. And we're knocking on that door. It's like we got half of our bodies in that door, and it's just how do we get through? And that's what I've seen over winter. I mean, everyone looks good. It's been fun. Like our qualifying has been great. Like the rounds, the competitions that like we have on our GC quads, like the different combines and things like that. Like there's some good. A guy just set the new record yesterday. So in the group chat, it was made known, and it's
Who set the record?
we just have like these
Okay.
one, the Parkside Gauntlet. We do
Okay.
a scoring challenge that's more like based. So someone set the new record for the Parkside Gauntlet, and it's kind of a goofy challenge, but it's one that, yeah, he goes a new standard's been set, boys. And so it's fun to see that, like I said, just the fact that they are pushing each other and motivated, and they're ready to go. Like they're ready to take that step, and it's exciting. Like I said, we've worked a lot on like some physical skill stuff, but a lot of it I'd say more mental. But yeah, our season in the fall, we played a couple great courses. One kid at one point was like, oh my gosh, he's like, can you imagine if we had to pay like our greens fees for this week and a half stretch? And then because one of the days, I mean, it's not on our schedule, but one of the days we were also at Conway Farms in that.
Oh,
So yeah, we went Cog Hill, Conway, or maybe it was Conway, Cog Hill, the Straits, something like that. And we were at the Straits, and yeah, he was like, can you imagine if we had to pay all of our greens fees these last like 2 weeks? And I said, yeah, it would be up there for sure. But that's pretty cool, as we had a lot of really great tournament experiences and some tough courses. And you could look at it as beating you down, but at the same time, it's like we're playing on courses that truly are very elite type of courses where you have to score, your mistakes can get really shown. And I think, like I said, that's where, in the off season really worked on, okay, like our numbers and just like course management and just mentally, how do we approach stuff? We did a couple of different things like team meeting wise, all of that, and how we're going to view everything from a perspective base. And it's good. I'm excited. Like I said, it's one of those, like they're ready. Like, I mean, their hard work in the gym plus in our indoor facility, it's been awesome. And it's you love to see it as a coach, and like you see the, and I think that's where you see the hard work and effort, and it's like, okay, I hope it truly does result for us. Because, and I know, like, do I have control over it? Well, some of it, right? The way that I coach or manage things. But I mean, I'm not the one swinging the golf club out there, but that's where it's like, okay, I hope in all the stuff that we're doing, I said the mental side, different things like that, like how can that get us set and have a good foundation for what we're going to do. But they're ready. We got some good, all the three events that we're playing in are good fields. The LIAC, like, that's always, the hurdle. It's like, okay, can I finish in the top four? We're right on the bubble for regionals, and it'd be a big step. Like I said, we had a great turnaround, like I said, in my, well, 2.5, almost like 3 full years. But they're ready. It's cool. It's cool to see, like I said, they trust in me, what we're doing. And they're like, okay, when you've played, like, what do you do, or how do you feel, or how do you react to this? And like I said, men's game versus female game, it's not like too different. The mental side, I think, is the same. It's just, like you said, the course management. Like, are you ripping driver when maybe you should be hitting a 2 iron off the tee? And I think that's where guys are a little bit more aggressive. But I get why they are, because they have more distance to their game.
Sure.
But okay, how's your short game though? So like, if you're going for greens or going for things in two, are you putting yourself in a spot where you can score? And no, we're getting dialed in. I'm, like I said, it's fun. It's a great group, and I think that's what's really gel. Always good laughs, all of that stuff. So
We've got about a minute left, Carly. Your women's team, the big news this year is it's a full team, and you're making strides there as well.
for
In the
sure.
minute we have left, what can you say about the progress you've seen there?
Same as the men. Like, they, after this fall, we, had our team meetings and individual meetings, and we didn't have a good fall, and they all know it. And it's not anything that's like harsh or bad to say, but already seeing like their scores with what we're doing with our qualifying. We have a really good battle going between our scoring competition. One of the girls just texted, was like, oh, new leader. And then literally 2 hours later, I got another text. Nope, I'm the new leader now. So you're seeing, and those numbers are progressing, like they're becoming higher. It's great, like the stuff that they've done over winter too, kind of their mindset and seeing how they're going about practice is really good. So they're eager to, like I said, improve from the fall, because I know we can do it. And just looking ahead, even at next year, I know we can make that regional play. It's just a matter of getting, like I said, and we're a young team too, right? It's only the second year in existence. Young, so learning what's college like, all of that. But I see us being able to make that big stride too. Like I said, the spring to, or fall to spring, should be a really good jump. And I think next year as well, just more experience, all of that. It's fun. And I think between the two teams, they feed off of that, and they see like the new high scores, or they see like who's leading in challenges. And it's fun. They're a great group too. Like, it's, yeah, there's a lot of fun, a lot of laughs with it. And but they're, like I said, they're ready to take that step too. Just
Sure.
like how they're handling themselves, same thing with lifts, practice. Like, they know they're better, and I think that's where they want to put their name out there, versus like, oh, we've didn't finish great this fall. But again, we have scratched that potential with what.
Sure. Well, it was exciting to look back on your US Pub links, but exciting to look ahead. Carly Wehrwein here on Talking.Golf.